and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks, and a property adjacent to the Cincinnati Nature Center in Milford sits Raptor Inc., a nonprofit organization run mostly by volunteers dedicated to treating, rehabilitating, and releasing back into the wild hundreds of formerly injured birds of prey. Each year, this organization says they rehabilitate some 300 injured or orphaned birds while also providing education and community outreach to some 350 schools, libraries, and senior centers. So joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about the 42 years of work helping injured or orphaned raptors in our local area is Raptor Inc. Executive Director Cindy Alverson. Cindy, thank you for being with us.
Pleasure to be here.
And we also have with us Jackie Bray, the Associate Director of Raptor Inc. Jackie, thank you for being with us as well.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
And we are joined on the phone by Dr. DJ Heusler. He is a veterinarian with the Animal Eye Institute of Cincinnati and a veterinarian who offers pro bono services to Raptor Inc. Dr. Heusler, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you as well.
Okay, so let's get started. And if you have questions out there in the listening world about how this organization operates or some questions about birds of prey, perhaps our guests can help you out. Give us a call at 513-419-7100. Let's start with Cindy. Tell us a little bit about Raptor Inc., how it got started, and what you do there.
Raptor Inc. has been a nonprofit organization about 42 years, and it started from a group of concerned citizens that saw the need for these birds to be rehabilitated. They found them injured. They could see what great things that these birds do provided for the environment, and they wanted to find a way to help these birds, so they started an organization.
Cindy, how do we find these birds that are injured in our region?
We actually rely on the community. They're out there every day. They're going to the grocery store, going to the library, schools, and they see them. They're injured by the side of the road a lot of times, or they could be tangled up in netting of some sort. So they find these birds of prey and give us a call so we can instruct them on what to do.
Okay, let me ask you, Jackie, how does the common average person, somebody like me who might be out there in the wilderness, not likely, but let's say that I am, how do we identify that a bird is injured? I know that sometimes it's quite obvious, right? But there could be some subtle injuries that you could assist with.
Absolutely. Sometimes we field calls that are similar to this. Generally, it's obvious a bird is unable to fly. When you approach the bird, it doesn't displace. That's very unusual for a bird of prey. But it is possible that in your backyard, the bird might have just caught a prey item, and it could be on that prey item eating. In that circumstance, a lot of times they're protecting that prey item and they won't displace. So what we usually instruct people in those circumstances is give the bird plenty of room, observe it for a certain time period, give it time to finish its meal, and see if it displaces at that point. So it's more a matter of observation, and the biggest thing is we don't want to interfere if we're not needed. We only want to interfere with wildlife if they absolutely need our assistance, because our goal as a conservation organization is to get these birds back out into the wild where they belong.
And how do you do that?
Well, it's complicated. It depends. It's an individual situation. Each bird has different needs. It's possible that we could have one bird that ran into a window. A window strike is not that uncommon for these types of birds. They could be stunned. They could come into rehab, maybe rehabilitate for a few hours, just enough to wear off the shock of the event, and it could be released right away. We have other birds that come in with fractures or severe head injuries or severe eye injuries that could take weeks to months to rehabilitate. So it really depends on the individual situation.
What kind of birds are we talking about here?
Hawks, owls, eagles, falcons, ospreys, or vultures are all examples of birds of prey.
And are they seen pretty much widespread throughout the Cincinnati area?
Yep. About 20 different kinds of raptors are out there. So it could be an everyday occurrence for you to look up or hear one.
I've heard owls. I've never seen an owl. I'm not sure owls are real, but you've obviously seen them. Is that right? I mean, you hear them hooting out there, but I have never seen an owl.
They're pretty secretive. I mean, that's part of who they are, is trying to be camouflaged because they're hunters.
Yeah,
so they need to be camouflaged and stay hidden. And most of them come out, you know, late at night.
Well, I'll look forward to maybe running into one someday. But let's bring in Dr. DJ Heusler. He's a veterinarian who offers pro bono services to Raptor Inc. And Dr. Heusler, I want to ask you, why is this important to you to offer the pro bono services in rehabbing these birds of prey?
Well, it's
it's really awesome. These birds are fantastic. They this isn't something necessarily that too many veterinarians or veterinary ophthalmologists even receive training on. And so even I myself can learn a lot about these birds and how they function. I learn a lot from Cindy and Jackie. I commonly say that I think that they teach me as much as I teach them. I've learned a lot about these birds, and honestly, it's just fun. It feels good, you know, to help these birds, help them, you know, return back out into the wild. They're fantastic, beautiful creatures, and it's fun to help them.
And Dr. Heusler, what are the most common injuries that you're treating among these birds?
So I'm a veterinary ophthalmologist, and so I get called in by Jackie and Cindy to examine any sort of ocular or ophthalmic issues that these birds may have. So just like when they get struck by cars or windows, they can suffer trauma to their eyes. They can get scratches on their corneas. They can get blood in their eyes, and they can detach their retinas. And so we try to help these birds with that to keep them comfortable and restore as much vision as we can so that they can return to the wild.
How do you know that you've restored a certain amount of vision for a bird?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we work hand-in-hand with Raptor in terms of I look at these eyes to make sure that they are that they look structurally sound, that the blood has cleared, that they don't have any significant cataract formation, and that the retina is attached. And then I work with Raptor to where they will then test these birds at their facility in terms of flight. Are they able to fly without hitting other things? Can they start to eat? Can they catch live prey? And so they have different things to test them as well in order to determine if they can be turned back to the wild again.
That's so fascinating. And I understand that at Raptor Inc., there might be some cameras involved. Is mm-hmm. that correct? Are they attached to the birds in some capacity, or are they just on the birds, watching the birds?
They are usually watching the birds.
Okay, there's like a bird cam, not necessarily
it's a bird
like,
cam,
like
yes.
a GoPro attached to some large right. bird so we can watch their bird's eye view, so to speak. So what would we be seeing if we log on to your site and check out some of these cams?
If birds see our presence, human presence, their behavior changes. All right. So we need to see them when they are not aware that we're there. And then we can check their flight. We can see how are they landing. Are they flying well in our enclosures? That way they are not aware that we are actually observing them.
Okay. And while you're observing some of the ones who are going through rehab, what are you watching for in terms of their healing process?
We're looking for normal behavior. And with Dr. Heusler, I just wanted to mention that these birds are incredibly prone to eye injuries. So it's not like he sees a lot of birds. We call him quite often. The types of injuries that we see these birds come in with as far as being hit by a vehicle or windows, often their eyes are involved. So we use his services quite a bit. And as part of the rehabilitation process, they're in specialized enclosures depending on their injuries. We have enclosures designed that are small if we're limiting their mobility. Then we have larger ones. Then we have exceptionally large ones that are big flight enclosures. And these cameras, we can watch their ability to go from the ground straight up to a high 13-foot perch. And then we also have L-shaped enclosures where we can watch them bank. Make a tight corner. It's a lot easier to fly straight than it is to make a really hard corner. So we get that on camera to assess, do they have the ability to actually survive in the wild? If we release them, the last thing we want to do is half treat a bird, put them out in the environment in a situation where they're not fully functional, where they can't survive. That's defeats the purpose.
That's something that I want to ask you about was, I mean, there must be occasions where a bird may be able to live, but
yes.
not act the way that bird is designed to act. So what do you do in that situation?
Well, it depends on the situation. These, you know, everything we do at our organization is highly regulated by permits. We have permits from the state and the federal level. You actually have to have a federal permit to have a feather of one of these birds, let alone a whole
really?
Bird.
Really?
Absolutely. It's quite, you know, they're quite controlled.
Why is that?
Well, it's for their protection. We fully endorse those types of rules because they are definitely for their protection and their conservation. It makes the penalties are pretty stiff. It keeps people from harming these birds. in ways that, you know, like a long time ago, people would collect their feathers. We don't see that too much anymore. But also people are threatened by they're taking my chickens or they see them as a threat. So, you know, these birds have protections for good reasons. But when we're talking about the permitting, there are certain injuries that we're really not allowed to rehabilitate. And so whatever those rules are, we have to follow those first. So let's say we do get a bird in that has a we believe it's going to be releasable. Okay, so like on assessment, we do believe that we're going to be able to rehabilitate it and release it. Let's say 3 months into that rehabilitation, we realize that that's not going to be possible. Okay, so there's different options. If we can place it with a facility that has the proper state and federal permits that is suitable, if the bird is suitable for exhibition or for being used as an avian ambassador, we will absolutely do that. So we always try, you know, to look at, we look at everything from a welfare standpoint.
And Dr. Heusler, let me bring you back in. I imagine while treating some of these birds, you've had to make some pretty tough calls.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately. There are some that have injuries that are too extensive to repair. And then, you know, we obviously consult with Raptor on what's in the best interest of the bird at that point.
Okay. Well, let's get a phone call in. We can go now to James, who's on the line. Hi, James. What's your question or comment?
I want to thank you guys. Last summer, my son Will was a counselor at Camp Friedlander Boy Scout summer camp, and they talked him through how to rescue a juvenile bald eagle that had been brought down in a heavy rainstorm. And over the phone, they told him how to wrap it up in a blanket, put it in a box, and then it was released a couple weeks later. But they do a fantastic job just over the phone.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything more patriotic than a Boy Scout wrapping up a bald eagle in a blanket and bringing it back to health? James, thank you so much for that call. We appreciate you sharing that. So there you go. That's sort of the service that you provide as well, is that people call you up and say, look, this has happened. What do I do? And you can talk them through it.
Mm-hmm. And that particular bird was able to release on July the 4th.
No way.
Yeah,
oh,
yes,
now you're being ridiculous.
We did. Cat Freelander.
It with hundreds of Boy Scouts present. It was
quite
an event.
Oh, that's so cool. Was that just this past summer? Is that what he said?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, amazing. That's a great story. I appreciate you sharing that with us. Thanks for the call, James. We do appreciate it. We've got a couple of minutes left. You do offer some open houses on occasion where people can come check things out. Would I be able to see an owl at one of these?
Absolutely. Yes. Our facility, in general, is not open to the public. Mm-hmm. We have an open house event on the last Sunday of the month, March through November, so as long as it's warm, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., the event is free. During those time periods, you can come to our facility, take a tour, see our avian ambassadors. Our avian ambassadors are birds of prey. They're non-releasable. Those are permanent resident birds that we have that we use during education programming. So you'll be able to see those. We have 11 at the moment that are permanent residents representing many different species. So during an open house, you can come and take a tour of the facility. We have a lot of activities planned. We have stations where you can see a bird out on the glove. We have touchable artifacts like wings and talons and pellets that you can touch. We always have cookies. We always have treats that people love that. And a coloring station, different things like that. So it's usually a really fun event.
And you have an open house scheduled on March 29. So we have that information at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati edition tab. What's the most exotic bird that maybe you didn't expect to see that somehow landed in your care?
Last year we did get two eagles, but we've had rough-legged hawk. We've had snowy owls.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Is a snowy owl a rare thing in this area?
They are listed as part some of the birds that you'll find in Ohio, but it's rare for us. It is rare for us. We've only seen them a couple times. There was an eruption a few years ago. There was hundreds in Ohio. And fortunately, we only see the ones that are injured. So they are rather rare here.
And Dr. Heusler, have you ever been thrown for a loop when maybe one of these more exotic birds has landed in your care?
Yeah, we recently had one where we were stopping in late to examine some birds at Raptor. And I was actually running late that day. We were caught in some traffic, and we called to ask if we should reschedule, and they said, no, come on in. And Jackson said, come on in. And it just so happened that while we were there, a Cooper's hawk was brought in that flew into a lime factory and was severely injured and had this caustic substance adhered to this bird's corneas and eyes, and its eyelids were being adhered down to the cornea. And so with Jackie and myself and my technician, Brittany, we worked on this bird for quite a while, flushing the bird's eyes out, and then we worked on healing up these ulcers, and the bird had a full recovery.
That's so great news.
Expect to get into that day.
Well, thank you to
all three of us were there.
Cindy Alverson, Jackie Bray, and Dr. DJ Heusler. We do appreciate you so much for telling this story with us. Details at WVXU.org. Thank you for being with us.